This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
What we're going to do now for the last half hour is we're going to have a panel discussion, but also in particular a Q&A from yourselves, and we can also ask some of the previous speakers. So I'm going to ask if each of them could just kick off literally for 2 or 3 minutes, just a few bullet points, and then what we'll do is we'll open the discussion out and any other comments or questions that you wanted to put to all the panel or the previous two speakers. So do you want to kick off, Jackie?
In Birmingham, we're like everyone else, realise that we have to find a new and different way of working in the future, and we're working with our partners to develop that. And I think we need to realise that partnership working in the future is not about structures, meetings, performance frameworks, and all of that stuff. It's actually about freeing people up so that they can innovate and collaborate, and that means that we have to work in a completely different way. Just some of the leadership challenges I thought I'd mention that are coming out of the work that we're doing is, first of all, trying to get a vision, an agreed set of priorities for the city that everybody can sign up to, because what people are saying to us is, if we're clear what our priorities are for the next 5 years, we can all get behind those and we will find creative ways of achieving those priorities. But we need to be clear on what those are. Big role for partnership and collaborative working in doing that. We've got to have, I think, relationships that are much more based on trust and respect. I know it's something we always say at these events. We have to have relationships based on trust. But what we're actually expecting people to do now is open up their books, is to share and pool their budgets, is to make decisions about commissioning and also about decommissioning. What are we going to stop doing as well as what are we going to do? And one of our partners, actually from the voluntary sector, was saying just the other day, you know, what we need to avoid is death by a thousand cuts. And the problem at the moment, I think, is that individual organisations, you know, are having to make cuts, and what we're not being able to do is look at the overall impact of those cuts. So an organisation, this particular one, that is supporting homeless young people in the city, are having to deal with all these different decisions that are affecting them, but we're not looking at what the overall impact is. So we've got to get much better at sharing decisions around what we do and what we stop doing, so that we've got a consensus on that. We've got to create real culture change and behaviour change within our organisations. We've got to free our people up to work across organisations and across agencies in a way that they haven't done before, and that's a big challenge. And it was mentioned earlier about how we have that dialogue and communication with the public, because one of the things we're trying to do, and I'm sure other areas are in the same boat, is we need to shift the emphasis now to prevention for the future, and our resources need to be shifted to prevention. It's very difficult to have a dialogue with the public about prevention. What does it look like? You know, how do we paint a picture of what our neighbourhoods could look like if we had a preventative approach, rather than spending lots of public money on the problems, stopping them from happening in the first place? And that's a real challenge. And all of this will affect how we govern ourselves and where the accountability lies, and the role of elected members is going to be key, I think, in driving forward this whole agenda and leading it locally and at a city level.
Okay, thank you very much.
Charlotte Campbell. Oh, I don't want to touch that. Progress Through Partnership is a capacity development programme for LSPs across the South East. So we work with about 70 local strategic partnerships. And I think there are some real challenges facing LSPs over the next 3-4 years. We've got budget cuts, depending on who you believe, between 20 to 40%, though I'd probably go with SIPFA guys' estimation. I think 40% is probably more likely. And as part of that, I know from my own experience and from talking to local authorities that they are going through their budgets line by line, looking for what they can cut. And some authorities are starting with a zero-based budget and building up again. These are really serious, deep cuts. I spoke to a HR director the other day, says at least we're talking honestly, at least we're calling them cuts and not efficiencies anymore. And I think for your LSP to thrive and survive, it needs a couple of things. You need to think about whether it can rise to the challenge faced by these cuts in public sector spending. You need to think about how it can take elected members with it. One of the problems from our own research is that LSPs have always had difficulty getting elected member buy-in. There may be one or two in a local authority. You may have four or five sitting on different partnerships. Very often what they say in public is not what they say in private, and you need to ask why you're not getting the elected member buy-in and how you can go about doing that. It's not the same across the piece, but there's enough evidence to suggest that it is a problem for some LSPs. Can you deliver better outcomes for local communities at little or no cost? I think from earlier conversations we've had today, LSPs have always been about improvement, and it's clear that there is this topsy-turvy kind of world emerging where efficiency is becoming much more important than improvement for improvement's sake. Can you get partners to align budgets? That was one of the original purposes of an LSP. Can you get them to share budgets? Can you get them to align budgets? LSPs have been around for quite a long time now. In some places it's happening, but it's not happening across the piece, and it's not happening uniformly. And finally, can you demonstrate performance? And I don't mean in terms of CAA. CAA is gone and it was very mechanistic. Local area agreements, according to the Local Government Chronicle last week, are likely to go on the scrap heap as well. What role will your LSP have, and how can it continue to deliver tangible benefits for communities? Thank you.
Thank you. Jessica.
Thank you. I'm going to talk about the challenge that I think is posed to those of you who lead LSPs by the three themes that Andrew Campbell mentioned, as I mentioned my question to him, which are in our publication Accountability Work. So accountability, transparency and involvement. I think these are all a challenge for LSPs. As the previous speaker said, and as academic research has shown, there's what I call the 1%, 75% proportion, which is that 1% of the members of LSPs are elected, 75% are the officials from the partners, and the remaining proportion is other non-executive people involved in governance from the partner organisations. And I think there's also research that suggests that LSPs in some places have struggled with kind of meeting the kind of accepted governance standards about public information, about access to agendas and reports, how many meetings are held in public. But I think most of all, it's the clarity of responsibility. Where are the decisions being made? Who's making them? And who's responsible? And that's going to become even more important, as all speakers have emphasised, in the financial challenges faced. Because people might be quite happy to let professionals get on with it when the decisions are really just about spending lots of money. When it's about cutting, there's going to be a lot more anxiety. And so that clarity of responsibility and people being able to, willing to explain it, is going to become even more important. And I think the Total Place pilots have shown lots of useful ways about where, how money flows need to change, how they need to work. But what they haven't really looked at, according to the reports anyway, is what governance will be needed to manage and oversee and lead that process of changing how services are delivered and joined up. And where the reports have talked about accountability, it tends to be in terms of programme or managerial accountability. And there are lots of other forms of accountability, I think, that need to be addressed. To address the point that actually is made in the Treasury report, which is that inconsistency and complexity of accountability for local agencies works against collective decision making. So if everybody's got different accountability arrangements, it's much harder for them to meet together and make those collective decisions and be clear about who's responsible for them. I think the other driver that demands greater accountability is about the problems. If the problems are more joined up, the solutions need to be more joined up, but so does the governance and the accountability. You can't have the separate systems of governance behind LSPs, as has been the case generally in currently. It's wasteful, it's confusing, and it's quite opaque. So I think my suggestion for how these challenges could be addressed, you won't be surprised to hear me say, is around the process of greater scrutiny of LSPs. And I'm not meaning just a kind of what you might understand by local authority overview and scrutiny committees. I mean a process of good scrutiny, which is public, which is challenging, which takes a critical friend approach. And we've talked about scrutiny in accountability works as being one element in a web of accountability operating at local level. Some areas are developing new approaches to how elected members and also others involved in governance can be brought into the partnership process and apply that critical friend lens and be able to review and challenge what the partnership's doing. So they've got led by elected councillors but involving non-executive directors from health and hospital trusts, police authority members, school and college governors, charitable trustees from the locality, all those with a governance role inside their organisations coming together to apply that scrutiny of decisions made by those responsible in the partnerships. I think scrutiny is also an opportunity for the conversation that Joe talked about to happen. It's a public forum where issues can be debated, and that deliberative process of questioning, hearing different views and reaching a judgment, I think could really help add value to the process of reaching these difficult decisions. And so I think my challenge is that that leaders of LSPs really do need to address their governance and check that it is fit for purpose, not in a bureaucratic sort of process-driven way, but to provide that audit that Edward talked about, whether the way that you make decisions and the way that you make them going forward in this new world is accountable, transparent, and involving of the public who are affected.
Thank you, Jessica. And lastly, Toby.
Thanks. I'm not going to comment on this. Is this on, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just doesn't feel as if it's on. I'm not going to come at this from a London perspective, because London is so different to the rest of the country, and I can see from the attendance list that most of you are from the rest of the country than London. So I'll just try and make a few sort of more general observations. I think Joe was absolutely right when he pointed to some of the financial issues that local government's going to have to think about, reducing costs and raising income and so on. And I agree with Sian that this next couple of years is going to be tremendously challenging for LSPs generally. But I think there is also a massive opportunity here, because LSPs, I think, are where big government and big society come together. And the balance has switched, if you like. I'm using politically charged terms, I realise, but the balance has switched from what might be seen as big government to big society. And I think by bringing people and communities and different groups together to lead the understanding of what the local area is about, you can play an absolutely pivotal role. From the point of view of the regional development agencies, which is effectively what the London Development Agency is, you'll all know from the budget that they are to be abolished and possibly replaced where there's demand by local enterprise partnerships. So there's something else that you need to factor in, and I'm sure you're all aware of the letter that was published on the earlier part of July. So I think you can see this as a real opportunity to make sure that the value that you add is really understood, because I don't think performance is absolutely important, scrutiny is absolutely important, but I personally feel that what might not always be understood as well as it should be, both by the public sector above the local level and by citizens, is the value that is added by different levels and different types of organisation. And I think if you can take that away, that would be my challenge to you. Think about what more that your LSP, your organisation, can do to demonstrate that it is actually adding value to citizens' lives, and therefore that it's worth it has a real part to play in the next few years.
Okay, thank you very much, Tony. Right.